הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה ונשמחה. הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה ונשמחה. הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה ונשמחה. הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, this was my attempted singing, which is in Hebrew. This is Judge Eve speaking, and it says, let us be happy and let us sing and let us have a happy heart. And that's what we need to do in the Lord. And Lord, before we go any further, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you that the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth are pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And I'm so happy and so blessed to have a wonderful brother in the law and a friend for many years, Mr. Tony Nassif, who is president of and founder of the Preventing Abuse Foundation, which generally helps against human trafficking, exposing and stopping children's sexual abuse, and also going on the internet for drug cartels and internet abusers to stop them. So I'm sure I'm saying it the wrong way. But I'm so impressed with Tony. He was ordained at age 15 in his Orthodox church. I'll have him explain. He'd been very active in politics. He had actually written a book, Jesus, the Church, and Politics, which I would like him to comment on. And just a wonderful, wonderful prophet, and I want him to speak to us about that too. Tony Nassif, welcome to the Judge Eve Show.
Oh, Judge Eve, God bless you. It's great to be with you.
It's wonderful to have you, my Tony. Tony, tell us first, you're from Lebanese parentage, right?
Yes, my father came to America at the age of 12, and my mother's parents came here when they were young adults.
Oh, really? And how come you were ordained so young, age 15? And I'm saying the right church name, Orthodox what?
Yeah, it's the Antiochian Orthodox Church,
wow,
whose headquarters are in Antioch, Syria, where they were first called Christians.
Wow.
And ever since a young boy, I served in the altar and so forth. And at one point, my father and my mother and I agreed to be ordained to the subdeacon,
wow,
which is a step above altar boy and step below a deacon.
Wow.
And it really started a ministry work for me.
And you see, God has his hand on you from actually before you were born, but started to manifest, right?
Incredible.
Before I go into your foundation and people, you need to support him. And maybe in a few minutes, Tony will give the address of where donations can be mailed. And I think it is a tax-deductible donation.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so I'll have you say it in a minute. But Tony, you have had some amazing prophetic experiences, like 1989. Can you please tell us? And Russia and Russia?
Yes, yes. Yes. It started in 81 when the Spirit of the Lord started giving me dreams about going to Russia. And I started having dreams, and I resisted it because I knew what he wanted me to do over there, and it was at the height of the Cold War, and I wouldn't see my mama again.
Oh.
And he kept persisting and persisting, and finally I said, I got a call from a cousin down in Kansas talking about a great opportunity to go to Russia.
You're kidding.
Wow. Yeah, you'll find this really interesting, Eve, because I still struggled.
Yes.
And on the day he had to have an answer, I was ready to tell him no, and the Spirit of the Lord said, you're going.
And I'd like to say Tony always follows the Spirit of the Lord.
Well, I got to tell you, that night I was so troubled. I was sitting in my mother's dining room, and I called a man who was mature in the Lord, and I said, what do you think? He said, well, I perceive the Spirit of the Lord. He said, you're supposed to go. And I hung up the phone.
Wow.
Eve?
Yes.
When I hung up the phone, I saw a warrior angel in the doorway.
Oh, you kidding?
With a flaming sword.
Was that Michael or Gabriel?
I don't know which one, but he was powerful, and he said, do not be afraid. Fear not, I shall be with you. And he did show up later.
What? When? Tell us when. Did you end up going to Russia right away, or?
In about the next couple of weeks, we left.
Oh my God!
Now you'll love this, being Jewish, Eve, being having a Jewish heritage and a Jewish believer.
Exactly.
I had to stay overnight in New York.
Yes.
At 1 o'clock, I was going downstairs to catch the shuttle.
Yeah.
And the shuttle left in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Spirit of the Lord said, "Go order something in the restaurant." And my brain said, "Nah, that can't work." He said, "Just be obedient." I walked into the restaurant. There was nobody there.
Yes.
Young girl come up to me. He said, "Now tell her about me."
Oh my God!
So I started to witness to her about Jesus.
Oh my God!
And she smiled. She says, "Oh, I'm a Russian Jew, and I'm open to that."
Oh my God! You kidding?
Her grandfather fought as a white Russian. Long story short, Eve, I got to Red Square.
Yes.
At midnight, the Lord sent me over there, 80 below zero wind chill.
And it's in Moscow, right?
Moscow.
Yes.
And I said, "Lord, I've been obedient. Why am I here?" And he said, "I'm about to destroy the Soviet Union through an outpouring of my spirit."
Oh, my! And this was 1989, right?
81. We'll get to 89. We'll get to 89.
Oh. Sorry.
And what happened was...
Yes.
I thought of Ezekiel 38, you know. He said, "No, it's going to be happening without a shot. My spirit's going to fall in such a way the communist system will collapse."
Amen. Oh,
and so, long story short,
yes,
he warned me during the trip. He said, "If 100 years ago, if anyone would have called Holy Russia Antichrist, they would have been laughed out of the country. If it happened here, it can happen in America. Be warned."
Yes.
Fast forward to 89.
Yes.
I'm going to bypass a lot of this. Fast forward to 89, the communist system is falling exactly the way the Lord told me.
You see?
I said, "Lord, what's next?" He said, "Watch this, Eve."
Yeah.
He said, "The Eastern Bloc countries have gone through an exorcism of the spirit of Antichrist." He said, "Now it's looking for a new home to rest."
Oh.
"And it found one in America. Be warned."
And look what's happening in
America. We have a demonic spirit of Antichrist, which has possessed the nation.
Can you pray? Let's agree together. Again, I need to have your story told, but this is essential. Can you kindly lead in prayer against that spirit?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before your holy throne. We invoke the full power of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And the unction of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to forgive us of our sins.
Yes.
Whether it be word, deed, or thought, knowledge, or ignorance, voluntary, involuntary.
Yes.
And we come against the spirit of Antichrist that has afflicted this country, and the spirit of Antichrist has afflicted the church.
Yes, in Jesus.
Move on these people to be active in the political arena.
Yes, yes.
In Jesus' name, Father God, let holy fire fall.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And Tony, that's why it's not maybe available now, but you had written a book about Jesus, the Christians, and the church.
Yeah, Jesus, Politics, and the Church. I'm doing an updated version.
Good, good, good.
And it's really most powerful.
And let me say, too, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1977 when this full gospel organization was existent, which was wonderful. And
yes.
I can tell you, people, when Tony tells you something, you better listen. From one prophet to another, right?
Amen.
But Tony, you've been so active in politics. You've done so much. You've really managed your parents' money and everything for many years. What led you to establish the foundation of preventing abuse?
Well, it started in 1997 when God inspired me to write a screenplay connecting the demonic realm with child abduction.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Wow.
I fabricated the whole thing. I didn't even know what I was doing. I'm not a writer.
Yes.
And I got so frustrated, and it got real spooky because I was writing about things with, like, children being held in warehouses and auctioned.
Oh! Okay,
and I said, this is bizarre.
You knew ahead of time what really is going on. My goodness.
Eve, after it was over... I finished writing, I met people in organizations that confirmed what I wrote was true. I even met the victims who were auctioned.
You kidding? In America?
In America.
In America. And is that what led you to go into this, building this foundation?
Here's what happened.
Yes.
After I wrote the script and confirmed what I wrote was true, I said, wait a minute, I don't know the warning signs of a predator.
Interesting.
But
none of us do.
maybe right? if I, you know, so I decided to hold a conference.
Yes.
And then I started losing interest because I didn't see any publicity about it.
Wow.
And in 2005, I end up having the symptoms of a stroke.
Oh, Tony, in
church,
kidding.
In church.
I need to pray for you before we leave, okay?
And what happened, this is in 2005, and what happened?
Yes.
They took me to the hospital. They took gave me tests, EKG, MRI, CAT scan, everything.
Yes.
And the doctors, three times.
Yes.
Said you're being given a wake-up call. And
wow.
I thought that was for my health, which it probably was. But on the third day, Eve, I'm talking to my cousin on the phone. I hang up, and I sent somebody in the hall.
Yeah.
I stretched out to see who it was, and Jesus walked in my room.
Oh, Tony, what did he look like to you? I always like to know because of what I've seen him like.
Pretty close to the Shroud of Turin.
Wow.
And he walked up to my bed.
Light hair, dark hair?
Dark hair.
Okay, go ahead.
Typical Middle Eastern. And so as he walked in, I saw a great severity on his face.
Wow.
And I realized he wasn't mad. He was serious, as though I'm about to tell you something and you better listen.
Yes.
He walked up to my bed, and the closer he got, the more love I felt.
Oh. Okay.
And
yes.
Then he bent down, and he reminded me of the conferences I was planning, but had backed away.
Like 7 years before, right? 8 years.
Yeah, and he said, millions of souls hang in the balance.
Wow.
And then he vanished.
Oh, my goodness.
I then found out in the next week to 10 days.
Yes.
That there's an estimated 30 million women and children in sex slave bondage today in the world.
You're kidding. My God, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony, before we go any further, because I'd like to bring it up several times, please give us the address and or email where people can contact you to make a donation. Yes, go ahead.
Preventingabuse.org. Preventingabuse.org. And we could use your funds, very much so.
Yes. And how do they send it? There's a place on the website to...
Right, and then they can mail it, or they can do it on the Internet.
Okay.
We have PayPal.
Good. And then the address for mailing is also on the website.
Right.
Okay. I'm saying the right words for technology. That's a miracle for me. Thank you, Tony. So, Tony, tell us how you were both involved with President Bush and President Obama, which shows when things are in the spirit, politics makes no difference.
Well, one of the things I tell people at the conference, I said, throw your politics out the door.
Yes.
And in last May, we had a conference here in Los Angeles at Galpin Motors.
Oh, when was that?
In May.
Oh.
Michael Reagan was our keynote speaker.
Oh, wow.
Now, what's interesting, he is a real advocate for children and families.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, very much so. And then what happened was we had people from the Obama campaign and people from the Republican Party both at the same conference.
And they got along okay?
Sure.
That is
and
so
we have people from all over the political spectrum.
Wow, Tony, that is, and they're helping you financially, or what was the reason for that particular conference? Would you accomplish?
Actually, we didn't charge for it.
Oh.
We invited key leaders in Los Angeles.
I see. And what was the idea? What are you trying to achieve then?
Expanding the knowledge of what's going on in regards to human trafficking, the victimization of the country, the drug cartels and how they've infiltrated the United States.
Wow.
The necessity to return to moral sanity.
Yes.
Because it's the moral corruption that's feeding the fuel of this.
Exactly. And, you know, all people see on TV, everything is okay. You know, you can kill and steal and take blood and abuse children and women, right, all the time.
Well, Eve, here's what's really, really wild.
Yes.
I was telling the story of my experience to my brother, and he said, "Why do I hear crying?" I said, "Well, you're empathetic."
Oh my!
He said, "No. I'm hearing real time crying of real people."
Oh my goodness!
He said, "As you and I are talking, there are victims that are crying out for deliverance."
Oh my goodness!
And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And he gave me Scripture, Proverbs 21:13.
Yes.
If you fail to hear the cry of the poor, you will cry and not be heard.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And that just totally solidified in your mind what you had to do, right? Tony, let me ask you something. Have you considered taking communion for those hurting people? There's a book called, Jane and I, you know, had attended a class at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena so many years ago with Pastor Wimber and Dr. Wagner at the time, you know, about evangelization through signs and wonders.
Yeah.
And they told us about a book called Healing the Family Tree by Dr. Kenneth McCall. A Chinese missionary to China didn't believe in any of it, but they found out that when they took communion, everybody in the same number family line got healed. They saw the spirits coming forth. Like if it was a second child, a second cousin, a second uncle, a second grandma, whatever, would be healed. And they took communion for the Jewish people in Poland. And in the church, the aisles were filled with the spirits of the Jews who were killed, but that freed them to go to where they should go. So what's just coming to me, had you ever thought of taking communion for those hurting children?
No, this is the first time I've heard about that. It sounds very interesting, Eve.
I know. I'll have to try and find you the book. It's a Pecos, monastery in New Mexico that used to sell it. But it's MCCALL, and I'll find it for you because they even tell you how to do the communion so that you free the spirits. And you know, Tony, as you and I know, everything has to be prayed for. Everything has to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And the experience I have just very briefly, God showed me so many in 1990, after I had my encounter in 1989, that we need to pray in advance of a project, during a project, and to protect the rear, because Satan comes in and tries to unravel it.
Right.
So tell us, Tony, when you have your conferences, you've had how many of them so far?
10.
And you've had them all over the country, right?
Right.
And what do you achieve, or what is your purpose of those conferences?
Well, expand the awareness of what's going on, activate the church to be involved, and to bring moral sanity back to the nation.
Amen. How do you activate the church? What, you said before you don't know what a predator looks like. How do we know?
Well, that's what we do. We bring in the experts.
Ah.
And they share the warning signs.
And can you share a couple of them that you know? Remember?
Well, for example, if you have an adult with a young girl and she can't speak for herself, she can't look you in the eye. She may have tattoos.
Oh.
Those are some of the symptoms.
Oh, that's of the victims.
Yeah.
But what about
the predator? The predator can look like anything.
Oh, really? That's
my. They come in suits, or they can come in jeans.
Wow.
And they can be in existence on various levels.
And you know what I'm thinking, Tony? One of the books, I am a huge reader, and of course I've ministered to and have exercised people. One of the things I've learned is that one of the way to put demons, especially into children, is by sexual abuse.
Now you're talking, Eve, because here's what happens.
Yes.
When a child is sexually abused, they go through the destruction and the death of their soul.
Oh, my God.
Only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of the Jews, can heal the soul of the wounded victim.
Because they become fractured, right, in their personality.
They become fractured, and they even go into mental compartmentalization to deal with the pain.
It's funny you say that because I had gotten to meet one girl who was physically abused, and it was by a father was a pastor. This is how the Satanists infiltrate the church. And every time they get, you know, abused, like you say, or some other damage to them, their mind becomes compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what you've come to learn too? And he's the only one who can bring that soul together, right?
Jesus is the only one who can heal the soul.
Have you had prayers for people who've been victimized and seen any?
One of our speakers has a ministry to victims.
Wow.
And what they do, he calls his work the restoration of the victim to humanity.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And he talks about that at the conferences.
Tony, let me ask you. First, let's mention your foundation again and how people can contribute, please.
It's Preventing Abuse Foundation, the website, preventingabuse.org. And if you want to email me, the email is on there, too.
Good.
And if you want to donate, there's a donation link, which we could really appreciate.
And I encourage you to do it, because by blessing a true man of God, people, you get blessed. There's so many out there who claim to be godly and give him money, give him money. Tony is not like that. When Tony speaks, he does it out of the bottom of his heart with true sincerity and honesty. And I cannot encourage you enough to support him, because then you will be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. So do get on his website and show your support. And Tony, one other thing too, how many private abuses take place, like in a home, without people actually...
Well, now, Eve, that's very interesting. You say we really don't have any numbers, but one of the big problems out here in California and around the country is the incest.
Exactly.
Among the Hispanics.
Among the Hispanics?
Yeah.
Has that just started, would you say?
No,
or is that
been... it's been long ago.
Oh, no.
Long ago.
How did you discover that, Tony?
Oh, just through my contacts with people in the organizations.
Oh, my God.
That are trying to minister to them.
Oh, my God.
And it's not limited to them. You know, it's throughout the country. There's cases where a five-year-old girl is being sold for sex.
Oh, you kidding?
And one father, I had one report that one father was willing to rape his kid. If the other person he was talking to would do the same, but he found out the other person he was talking to was a undercover agent.
Thank God, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Tony, what do we do to help change this around? And again, everybody, this is President Tony Nassif of the Preventing Abuse Foundation, where you can find him on preventingabuse.org. Because it's not just the 30 million you mentioned, Tony. I'm convinced that it goes to hundreds of millions.
Oh, Eve, there's no telling how far it goes. The Muslim extremists are involved.
You're kidding.
We have a report of young Christian children being targeted in Pakistan. And they were taken to a training camp.
Oh, just Christian children?
Yeah.
They're doing that too? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, T. That breaks my heart, Tony. You know?
It should break everybody's heart. But what's happening, America doesn't care about the moral disintegration. There's a satanic possession of the United States of America.
Exactly.
Here's what's spiritual happening.
Yes.
As Satan is desecrating the souls of the innocent, he cries out to God for retribution.
What? Why?
Because he wants to see the nation destroyed and the blood of the innocent upon the nation, just as the blood of innocent Abel came upon Cain.
Right.
Because he's got to stop the gospel.
What?
And there are many ways he's trying to do it. And the church is playing patty cake in the holy water. They have no clue about spiritual warfare. They made everything academic, and I'm being very general, of course.
Oh, you're right, though. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, because when you understand the early church history, the monastics, the early church fathers, they were keenly aware of the satanic operations and the need to understand spiritual warfare.
Exactly.
Because the satanic realm affects several areas.
Yes.
Some demonic possession, like you would see in The Exorcist, some are a satanic whisper.
Wow.
And some they operate the way they did against Peter.
Yes.
When Peter said, "No, Jesus, you shouldn't go and get crucified and all that," and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you don't save the things that be of God, but the things that be of man."
Right, right, exactly.
And the church needs to wake up, because there's a curse coming on the church, Eve.
I know. And
I'll give you a chapter and verse for it, too.
Please,
Ezekiel 9.
Yes.
God told the man with the inkhorn to mark everyone in the holy city that cries out against the abominations of the city, starting at the temple with the elders on down to the family and the children, and the four men with the swords. He told them to go out throughout the city, starting at the temple with the elders, and kill everyone who doesn't have the mark.
Wow. Wow. Nothing new under the sun, is there? You know?
Nothing new. And let me tell you, people have created God in their own image.
Yes.
God is a very violent God.
He says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes place.
And he said he's a violent God who suffered.
Yes.
Great violence that we may not have to.
Exactly.
But you're not going to get half a buck's worth of everything with God.
Yes.
You're either going to get extreme mercy,
yes,
or you're going to get extreme judgment.
And what you're saying is people better repent. I'm a spiritual warrior, by the way, Tony. And
I believe that.
I told God a long time ago, look, you want me to fight them? They see me and I don't see them. It's not a fair fight. He does say, come, let us reason together, right? And I told him, go ahead. So that's when I started seeing the demons. He started showing me, I see in the spirit realm. I see in the body. I see God has taken me all the way to time of conception. And I've seen people transform in front of my eyes, exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tony, I know you didn't want to be longer than about half an hour, so please, again, tell us your website, tell us your foundation.
Preventingabuse.org, and you can donate or write me. The email address is there, and the donation link is there, too.
And, Tony, what final word do you have for the people? I wanted to mention both Obama and Bush had helped you sign.
Oh, yeah. Here's what happened. Yeah. I got invited to come to the White House.
Yes.
For the signing of President Bush's Traffic and Victims Protection Act.
Wow.
And just recently I was invited to the White House with other nonprofits, and I was there in my capacity dealing with human trafficking.
Wow. Wow. And the president addressed it? And
he wasn't there, but his staff from the White House was.
Oh, and
they actually highlighted our work.
Oh, how
and
wonderful.
Connected with some very, very important people.
How wonderful, Tony. Tony, in the last few minutes, we have a couple of minutes. What is your message? What is in your heart that you wish for people to know?
Repent.
Amen.
If this nation would have repented, if this nation in the body of Christ would have applied the moral value base that God established for us, if this nation and the body of Christ would have been active in the political arena, we wouldn't have a socialist government. We wouldn't have moral debauchery.
Yes.
We wouldn't have perversion in government places.
Yes.
We wouldn't have perversion in the culture.
Yes.
The church has been silent.
Yes, for too long, right?
Too long, and they will be accountable.
And you know what else? Like I love Dr. Jack Van Impe and how he brings up how there's the Chrislam thing, how people trying to connect, you know, a different God together, and even changing the Bible. Wycliffe interpretation has taken the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Can you imagine?
No.
Apostasy like we've never seen in our lives.
It's all prophesied.
Yeah, and I was led to do the return to holiness, which I'll share with you privately later on.
Uh-huh.
What God has shown me, but I just love you, Tony. You're my true brother in the Lord.
Amen, Eve. You too.
I thank you so much for being on, and I would love to have you on anytime. And if people will maybe email or call in and to see if they have specific questions, would you be
sure?
Okay, because I don't want you to be over, you know, burdened with things. But I feel that what you're doing and what you have to say is just essential.
God bless you, Eve.
God bless you, my Tony. God
Take
bless
care.
You, Tony Nassif, President of Preventing Abuse. Let me just say, everybody, hi. It was wonderful to hear from Tony Nassif of Preventing Abuse Foundation, and he talked about spiritual warfare. So what a blessing now to have Pastor Mark Hunneman. Can you hear me, Pastor?
I sure
Hello?
Can. It's great to be on the show. It's humbling and makes me very happy at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. I just want to introduce you properly. Excuse me, Pastor Hunneman is a minister who's been a minister of a church for many years, and he'll tell us how he came to know about spiritual warfare, which is exactly what Tony was just talking about. He writes blogs, and also he has a book out, Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, which can be obtained through Amazon, and I have some questions to you about it, Pastor Mark. Thank you, and welcome to the show, Pastor.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, and you're one of my favorite people, and I so admire and respect and like you, so it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to ask you, a friend asked me, and I thought, what a good question. When I told her the name of your book, Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, she said, what ghost does God see? Can you tell me?
What does he see? He doesn't see anything.
Oh, he doesn't.
Not ghost-wise, anyway.
So,
you see something else.
So tell us a little bit about your background, how you became involved. You were in deliverance ministry, exorcism, for those who don't understand the word deliverance. So go ahead, please, tell us, and I will be asking you some questions.
Oh, boy, sure. 7 to 10 kids, Catholic family like that. And then
can you speak
college,
a little bit can you speak a little louder?
Yeah, large family. I'm sorry. I came from a very large family, seventh of ten children.
Wow.
And wonderful parents. And went to college and felt the Lord leading me to the pastoral ministry. So I went to seminary and, long story short, got ordained as a Presbyterian minister.
Yes.
1985. Now, to be a Presbyterian minister, there's a whole lot of hoops you got to jump through, education-wise and so forth. So,
yes.
It's not just one of these online deals. You have to go get a master's of divinity and all that.
And so, really actively study the whole subject matter. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's a three-year thing, but interestingly, in 3 years of intensive study for master's of divinity, and the guys will tell you today, there's nothing said a practical matter about spiritual warfare. We'll get back to that. But
they didn't teach that at all?
Anyway, in 85, started and then was pastor of church, or a pastor and pastor for 15 years or so. I am not.
Where are you?
Now.
In North Carolina?
I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, and like I said, I'm not currently a pastor of a church. I could do so at any time, but I'm focusing on writing, and also is that's mainly what God's called me to do, but also the work of a demonologist or exorcist because of the problems, the fast increase of demonic activity in our country, largely due to the, in the last 15 years, the paranormal craze that has become, well, so popular in America. That, more than anything else, in my opinion, has opened up the floodgates for the demonic to get more active.
So, in other words,
Satanism, you take psychics, you take all the rest. You add them all together, and it still would not add up to the number of people who have an active interest in ghosts.
Because
or
what
trans
it is,
spirits, earthbound spirits, or whatever you want
to
call them. That's why I think
that
the notion of ghosts is so crucial that the body of Christ addressed, because it's the most successful deception Satan has going on in America today.
And
that's why I wrote my book.
And Pastor, isn't that exactly...
In order to, educate people that these things are not trapped human spirits. They are, in fact, demons mimicking these human spirits.
So isn't that Satan's way? He always engages in ways to subtly draw people into his activity so then he can control their lives and do whatever he wants to do. Haven't you found that to be...
horribly, the way he does it... I'm not going to go into detail now because it's actually so raw, but I experienced the most heartfelt attack, deception of Satan myself my entire life in the last week.
They are
so brutal, so cruel, so depraved. You know, demons are pure evil, which is hard for us to wrap our minds around.
Exactly.
But they are. I mean, Hitler was horrific. But he still was made in God's image. He was probably possessed. I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
So, we both have a common interest in that. Mine, I have a Germanic background and, of course, the fears of the Holocaust. But these things are pure evil, nothing good in them. And they will, they say nothing twice about becoming the best friend of a little child and getting an entree that way. Or they find a young mother who has a heart for children. And then, like one of my cases, for example, the way it started 15 years ago, the mom, kids were young then. She heard the voice of a little child behind her in her kitchen.
Oh.
It was a disembodied voice. She said, oh, wow, we have a little girl ghost in the house. Wonderful.
Oh, my God.
That happens by the millions in America, Eve. It really does.
You're kidding.
all over the place. People are welcoming into their homes what they think are deceased spirits, either of their family or of little kids and so on, or the proverbial, you know, old lady in the white dress.
Pastor Mark,
of course, as you say Jesus, of course, that sweet lady begins to growl and grow long teeth and claws.
Let me ask you, Pastor Mark, I need to, first couple of things. I want people to know about your book again and how they can contact you if they need prayer or help with deliverance. First, it's Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, which can be obtained on Amazon.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I think the one thing that's unique about my book is that thankfully there's a wonderful growing body or corpus of books from some of them friends of mine, like Out of the Cauldron, for example, is one book of ex-witches and ex-Satanists who are coming out and are
Christine
really
McGuire.
On fire for Christ.
Yes,
most
Christine
of them
McGuire.
Are biographical, though.
Yes.
What I really want to say about my book that I think is helpful, that actually is unique, I think, is that it's the only book that I know of that is a comprehensive biblical analysis of what ghosts really are.
And what do you
there
say?
There should be dozens of books in that category, but as far as I know, it's the only book that, from a biblical worldview perspective and science and logic, and asks this question. Number one, why are ghosts so popular today? But more importantly, what are they really?
And so I try to say
as many objections as I can and answer that question. And Americans, at least half of Americans believe in ghosts now, and probably more than that. And if you're a young adult, it's about 60 or 70%. So the body of Christ is now scratching their head. Many people wondering, what's the relationship between paranormal and my faith? So I would commend my book for the simple reason that we desperately need to be educated and equipped in knowing what these things are. So my book is Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes.
Yes.
You know, what is God's perspective on
what
these
is it?
Things? Or what does the Bible say?
What is
and
God's perspective?
Ghosts are demons. Ghosts are demons. There's no such thing as
it. In other words,
find it at Amazon.com, mainly. That's the best way to find it, in Kindle or softback, or you can get it through my website, which is www.seeingghoststhroughgodseyes.com.
And they can contribute. If people are so led, they can contribute to your ministry and also ask you to come and help them do deliverance or that's one. And by the way,
no way, I don't have a, you probably surprised at this, but I don't have a actually contribution thing because but the thing is that I do have a free newsletter, which is kind of complements my book. I send it out weekly. And it just deals with issues as I feel the Lord leading me. But please listen to me, y'all.
Yes.
Any paranormal activity in your house is too much paranormal activity because of this.
Yes.
Any paranormal activity indicates that there is demonic presence in your house. If you hear bangings in your house, knocking on your pots and pans, you see something move, something growl, whatever, hear the voice of a child in the night or something like that, or footsteps in your attic and you know the number's on there, please know that's demonic activity and contact me. I can't get there, I'm in North Carolina, I am in a network of demonologists or exorcists, and I'll find somebody
for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. You, please don't live with it, because you're living, like spiritual...
permission.
Like spiritual radiation.
Yes.
Even if you're not being attacked, you're being corrupted.
And a gateway to being attacked, right? Once you allow them to do a little bit, then they do worse and worse and worse things. So let me ask you.
They're so skilled and crafty at finding ways to opening the door. Period, and then once they have it opened, opening it further, you have a demonic oppression, which then may turn into actual possession.
And what about spiritualists in England and in Scotland? I'm thinking of Laura Maxwell, you know, where they actually get attacked by the demons physically, you know, and people don't understand that. May I ask you, Pastor Mark, what causes those demons to come? Like, I've exercised houses, and I knew the reason at the time. There was a Ouija board holding seances by the former owners of the house. And I actually saw that demon, and I felt fear, and I'm not an afraid person. And finally I said, I plead the blood of Jesus, and like instantly the fear left and the whole much more to the story. But what do you know, what have you found out causes spirits to be attracted either to certain people or certain structures?
You have territorial spirits, Eve, who for whatever reason will attach to a property. It might be 10 miles by 10 miles, or it may be. And so if a person comes and they build a house on it, even if the people are themselves Christians, if the house is already defiled because it may be an Indian burial ground,
that's what I know.
Or they have been cursed.
Yes.
There are several, like I had a case in Atlanta or outside of it. You know, people don't know this, but Indian medicine men are like shamans, and some of what they do is magic with a K, summoning of spirits, and these spirits are demons, and they don't think they are.
Right.
But anyway, the point being is that some places the demons are attached to the location or to the objects.
Yes.
You know, it can be attached to an object that people get at a yard sale.
Or garage sale.
You know, if you don't pick up a African death mask, okay, and think that's a cool thing to bring home. It's not.
Amen. Amen. Because also frogs or images of owls and other type of objects I've learned over the years can attract the demons as well. Have you found that to be the case also?
Yeah, I have, and for sure, ravens are often, and cats
what are
as
they?
Well are a common image for, it goes all the way back to ancient Egypt that many Wiccans use now, but as far as like individuals, Eve, we, made in God's image, are the main targets for the demonic because they hate us, anything that we can do. We are really. This is what's so sad is, this is my own study, even correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm open to correction. But in my study of the history of cultures down through the ages, I don't know of another culture in the history of mankind that has plunged headlong into the spirit realm. Like we have. What I mean by that briefly is that all cultures in the past and have by God's common grace have known intuitively or instinctively that the spirit realm was dangerous. And so they always had a shaman, a witch doctor, or a priest to go between the community and the spirit realm.
I see. As a protector.
Here we have millions of Americans trying to get EVPs, electronic voice phenomena.
Wow.
Millions of Americans trying to rush headlong into the spirit realm, trying to talk to the, quote, dead, contrary to Deuteronomy 18. And as far as I can tell, that's the first time that ever in the history of mankind that's been done.
Let me ask
you. That's why I think it's bringing around the right
curses
for the end times. It's just a horrific situation in America now.
I know. Let me ask you, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? Did they seek spirits, or what caused them to become so involved in debauchery, you know, and all the horrible things that they did?
Well, we know, yes. the tendency for idolatry is, as John Calvin said, we're all like idol factories, but these pagan cultures, which, you know, is why the Israelites were told to drive out the Canaanites because of how perverse their occult practices were.
And also,
they were
didn't
totally
God
perverse, but these very same things that were the cause of the slaughter. I mean, God's
yes.
holy war against these people we're now embracing as a culture.
Yeah.
You know, speaking to the dead, necromancy.
Right. Right.
And mediumship. Those are the reasons that that these people were, as a culture, were driven out.
Right.
And, but here now in America, we're embracing that. It's
unbelievable. And especially since it's supposed to be a Judeo-Christian country, right?
I know. You know, just previously, that's what's so sad, in the last 80 years, give or take, say 100,
yes. Yes.
What has happened, even if I may say this, is really the pastors, and I say this with tears.
Yes.
Because I'm not a pastor now, but I have been, and I will always be an ordained minister. But in the last 80 years, the ministers have stopped having the guts to
yes.
confront where in society Satan was attacking. So,
wow.
for example, when abortion, you know, early 70s became an issue,
okay, right.
versus Wade, we didn't speak up.
Right.
We lost our chance at that time.
Oh,
the same thing
terrible.
Is going on now with spiritism, or, you know, the belief in necromancy, that is, you know, talking to the dead.
Unbelievable.
The church, 95% passed. I mean, let me ask you, how many sermons do you think were preached in 2012 on the topic of the Bible and ghosts?
How many? I don't know.
Yeah, how many do you think were preached? Maybe none? I don't know.
A small
I'll
percentage.
Count on one hand.
Wow.
Avoiding it's not being talked about. The point is that we're, like y'all were talking about when I came into the conversation,
yes.
that the body of Christ is not addressing where Satan
yes.
is attacking our culture.
Exactly.
And what people
exactly.
have to understand, Satan and his divine horde don't just attack humans. They
yes.
work along the contours of cultures.
They do whatever they can to
down.
Destroy. They're doing all they can to destroy us, right? And, you know, if you did listen to Tony Nassif, you know, he was saying how Satan is also going to God and say, hey, look at them. You know, you should destroy them. He creates the reason for the destruction, and then he wants the people destroyed. You know, that's how vicious he is, and devious maybe is a better word, right?
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
a very good point. It's tragically true. It
yeah.
really is. But
the
guys in the
yeah.
pulpit are not. They are not educating, they are not equipping people
yes.
To be able to discern supernatural evil in our culture. I need to say that again.
Please
our,
do.
The people in the church,
yes.
in the pew,
yes.
are not being educated on how to discern supernatural evil.
And how
so
can you
when
do...
when they
what?
See a show like Ghost Hunters, and
yes.
for the first time they see supernatural activity... They
yes.
don't have, like it says in 1 John, the ability to discern the spirits because
they're not trained. They're not
no excuse for it. They're not trained. They're not equipped.
Right.
They it's just not being addressed in the churches. And so, I mean,
it's a bless me club, right?
Who are earnest Christians, they don't know
yes.
how. I think that everything that glitters is gold in
yes.
the supernatural realm, and that is a tragic mistake to make.
What can you do, Pastor Mark, other than we need to pray to help those pastors really come out of this terrible ignorance that they're inflicting? You know, woe to the shepherds, right? It's not only them who are hurting, they're hurting their flock. So what can you do, or what do you suggest should be done to have more awareness in the church and more teachings? You know, you should be called to teach, right, in the different churches?
Yeah, that's my dream, is to go
yeah.
around and speak. It's just, as you can imagine, there's just a built-in resistance to this notion because
yeah.
people are either afraid...
Afraid,
or they think it's a ludicrous notion, you know, like
yes.
cast of the ghost type thing.
Yes,
Satan is really he has really shown his craftiness on this one, because there's a built-in ludicrous factor with the notion of ghosts.
He's blinded them. You know, Second Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world blinds their minds and their hearts.
Yeah.
So they're being blinded, and they don't understand that they're being blinded. So let me pray for you that you will be called, and I want you to, again, to talk about your book, because I know what you're doing is so essential. We need to take, you see, God has made me a spiritual warrior, and he told me where to wrest the land out of the hands of the enemy. You know, W-R-E-S-T.
I love that image. You know, you told me that, and I love that image. And like Laura, I'm attacked, too.
Laura, tell us
a
about the
Christian friend.
Yes, in Scotland, who had been in the spiritual bad way, and how she found out how bad it is to be there. How were you attacked this week that I would like to pray for you, Pastor Mark? And then I want you to talk about your book. We only have a few more minutes.
Okay, this one was more relationally. I've been single for 13 years. I guess I probably shouldn't go into detail. Let's just say a person, it was deception. A person pretended to be something they weren't, but they had knowledge, Eve, that they couldn't have had unless there was demonic involvement, knowledge of where I was, I mean, as an infant in a small town in North Carolina. Nobody could have known that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. So I was left pretty devastated with this deceptive relationship that finally the Lord brought to light. So this one was more emotional, relational, but...
Yeah. But you learn through it, right? This is, again, the Lord showed me in 1994, so 93, actually late 80s, that we have to have subtle discernment. And I talked to a person in Florida, and he said their pastor was teaching them how Satan was engaging in subtle deception. You know, the way that God works with the body. You know, he gives the hand one bit of information, and then the foot gets another bit of information, you know. But let me...
I like what you said about, you know, being discerning and praying at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end.
Very much. He God showed me.
Isn't it?
Yes. You know, God truly showed me. That's after my experience I had in Christmas Day 1989 with a beam from the heavenly. He showed me, you know, where the ship goes through the water, it leaves a wake in its path, you know, in the behind. But then after a while, the water comes back together. So he showed me, because of the increased activity of the demonic, we don't see them, but we're walking like through pea soup. It's just so heavy with the demonic spirits. So we need to pray, excuse me, at the beginning, the middle, and then the demonic tries to unravel every plan we have, like the wake comes back in behind the ship. Go ahead.
An example is, like, after this show, we need to pray that God would do two things, water the seeds that were sown and protect the demonic birds from plucking the seed out of people's hearts.
That's
how I always pray, you know, on the backside of an interview like this, you know.
Amen. Why don't we have you pray? I want to pray for you in a minute, but let me again mention your book. And it's Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, which is essential for every Christian to read, and even non-Christians, so you don't go into the stupidities of engaging in what you think is spiritual and you're inviting demons in your life. And also, how to get your website is www.seeingghoststhroughgodseyes.com. Is that the title of your website?
It sure is, and you can sign up for a free newsletter.
Yes.
The cheapest way to get the book would be through Amazon, though. That's my recommendation.
So let me pray for you and then let you pray and add anything else, because we only have a couple of minutes to go, Pastor Mark. And I thank you so much. You're so amazing. Father God, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, you shall be done for us. I lift up that oppression off of Pastor Mark. Any plan that has been coming against him is dissolved. We enter your council room, Satan. We serve notice on you that no weapon formed against Pastor Mark will prosper, nor against his ministry. And you made another mistake, because we're going to take and overtake and take more land, and he'll be out there more heavily than ever before, speaking and teaching everywhere. And the people receive him with love and appreciation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go ahead, please, Pastor Mark, if you're led to pray.
Yes, Father, thank you for the beautiful prayer that my sister and friend Eve prayed, and comfort that it brought to me. And I pray for your continued anointing upon her. And,
thank you. Thank you.
I'm touched every time I hear her speak and pray, and the passion and compassion that comes from her.
Thank you.
The intelligence of this woman and the massive competence as well as compassion is something that is an unusual combination for someone to be so intelligent and so competent in so many ways and yet still to have such a tender heart towards you. So I thank you that you said that you didn't call many wise, that you did call some wise, and he's one of them. And I thank you for
thank
her
you.
Friendship. She's probably the softest heart towards you of any person I know.
Thank you.
I pray you might protect her physically, emotionally, and spiritually from demonic attacks, and that
yes.
you might use her and myself increasingly to wrest out of the evil one's hand that which rightly belongs to you, and
yes.
that we would be not reactionary, but to plow straight ahead,
yes.
knowing that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the heavenly armies, is in front of us. And
yes.
please, Lord, go before us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark Hanneman. And again, his book, Seeing Ghosts Through God's Eyes, you can obtain it on Amazon and contact him on his website. You need to know that you need to contact him and have him speak in your church and keep bothering the minister till he invites Pastor Mark to come and speak to you and educate
yeah.
you. And that's right, by our much importunity, right? God hears.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to pull God's beard out if he doesn't help you. God, we have to go, Pastor Mark. God bless you. Thank you so much. And you have a blessed day. Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.